There is a scripture that says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I may not sin against thee." It's a simple verse, but yet so profound, because it speaks about how God will always operate with his children. You see, God's word will speak to you. It will direct you. It will guide you. It will lead you.
Amen.
It will convince you, and it will convict you. When you want to do something, that word will begin to speak, and it will tell you, you know what? Go right as opposed to go left. Mm. The Bible said that he hid it in his heart. Mm. He placed it there on purpose.
Yes.
In order for it to speak and to direct him. Mm-hmm. It's important that you understand. Because before we even get to the first step, you have to understand these steps. Another scripture that I fell in love with is Philippians 4:9. It's a simple scripture, but you know this. It says, "Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you." So it's not enough that you have heard a good message, or you can count 4 or 5 godly men or women. There is an act of doing that we have to become, literally the hands and feet of Jesus. We have to walk that walk. We have to talk that talk. We have to live that life. And it's important that you guys are following me, because the days are getting colder. And the world has changed. There are so many people right now that are in church, but they're not part of the church. You would think that some way, somehow, they would be following God in a way, or that they got the strength to come to church, big buildings, but the word that they're receiving is not authentic, and they're not saved. They're not sanctified. They're not serving God. It's a challenge, and my heart always breaks when I think about it. It's like, God, what can I do? I wish I could speak to more. I wish I could speak to many, many more. So the first thing I want you guys, the first step is this. Listen, if you want to apply God's word, you have to begin by reading. You need a habit of reading the word. Some people call it devotions, whether it's in the morning, at noon, at night. But reading God's word cannot be optional. It has to be mandatory. You cannot make it as a believer if you read the word of God seldomly. And I don't want to go any further than that. I need you guys to understand that you cannot make it with God if you read God's word seldomly. It has to be an everyday reading, studying. Let me just forget to study. You just have to be able to read it. You have to be familiar with the translation. The word is called nomenclature. The words that the Bible used to describe things, it has to become your vocabulary. Let me give you an example. Today, if a man who is married steps out of his marriage and has a relationship with someone else, what does the world call it? The world calls it an affair. Something nice and airy and sophisticated, almost like having a glass of wine. It sounds light and breezy, but the Bible calls it adultery. You will be amazed to find out that if you, as a child of God, when you're speaking to your friends, when you're speaking to your colleagues, if you call what they're doing adultery, how it convicts them. It hits them like a brick.
Because it's no longer where you're having an affair, you're stepping out. If you use the words that God uses it and you apply that into your life, you will understand just by simply reading God's word, you begin to grow. You see, you have to learn God's ways and understand his purpose for us. And we only get that through reading his word. By reading the accounts, not the stories, the accounts of the Bible, it begins to fill us. We begin to understand that God has a way. The Bible says this, that a day of the Lord is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. And when you read that once, it even sounds like a nursery rhyme, but you begin to understand that God has a way and a time of doing things. He is not always on our time. He's not always doing the same things that we do. His planning is a little different, and we have to respect that and see that. I want to encourage you this morning, because I'm looking at people that I love and people that I care about, and my heart is breaking. I'm thinking, God, please, at least let them read your word and let them have that kind of relationship where they're comfortable of opening up the word of God and seeing the truth in it. In his word, the Bible says this in Psalms, that God's word will become our footprint, our pathway. Just by reading it, you understand the love that he has for you.
Yes.
And the sacrifice that he's willing to, that he's already made for you. And the miracles. I don't know if you've ever been in a place in life where you need a miracle. I'm telling you, there are so many accounts in God's word where he made the impossible possible. If you read in the Old Testament, there was a woman named Rahab, and she was a prostitute. She was a whore. In other words, she made her living by selling her body in exchange for shekels. The Bible implies that not only was she a prostitute, but she was so good, she provided for her family, that her father and mother and siblings benefited from this. Through the course of her living, when men would come in from the east and west and north and south, she began to hear about stories about Israel and about the God of Israel, and how every time they went to conquer a nation or a city, they had victory. Something moved in her heart, the Bible says, that when the spies came to spy out this city king named Jericho, whose buildings, I mean, whose walls were so high and so wide that no army could attack and be successful, she found favor with the spies. And she said, I will not only help you if you spare me. And God did something amazing. God spared her and her family when the walls of Jericho went down. But not only that, God allowed her to be part of the family of faith. That when you go into Matthew, you can see that she's one of these people just because of her faith. Just because of what she heard about God. It moved her to the point that she was willing to act upon that. Now, why do I tell you that? And how does that make any sense? When you read God's word, you find out that God is a miracle-working God. That he does things for his children that he will not do for anyone else. By reading God's word and by taking the time to apply that in your life, you begin to understand the intersection of where God meets and humanity meets. You understand his promises and his character. And you begin to appreciate how great a God he is. That's the first step. The first step is understanding God's word through reading. The second step is studying. And this is the part that, honestly, if you're a lukewarm Christian, you won't do. Because studying requires time.
And it requires an intention. That you need to be intentional. No, what does the Bible mean when it says this? And you look into God's word and you prayerfully take the time to say, Father, I want you to speak to me. I want you to show me. Show me in your word. And you begin to pay close attention to when this theme comes again and again in God's word. Why is this important? How can you honestly expect to be successful in this life as a believer if you don't take the time to study God's word, to know what you're allowed to do and what you're not allowed to do? What can I say? What can I eat? Where can I go? If you want to please God, you have to take time to study his word, to read his word, and you have to apply it into his life. And anyone that has ever had any success in God knows this to be true. The Bible tells us to study, to show thyself approved. God wants you. He wants me. He wants all of us to go in deeper to him.
Hallelujah.
Not to have a superficial relationship. It's not okay what you did in 2017 and 2016 for God. God wants you to have a personal relationship with him. He wants you to have that confidence that Daniel had. That he was thrown into a den of lions. But he said, whatever happens, I'm not going to bow down. I'm not gonna turn my back. Because Daniel took the time, the Bible said, and he studied. He studied God's word. And he said, Father, it said we were only going to be subjected for 70 years. And he began praying. He said, God, the 70 years are coming to an end. So, and I know that you are a promise keeper. What promises does God have in his word for you that would help you today out of your circumstances that you can put right back to him, that you can say right back to him, Father, in the name of Jesus, your word says it. I'm reminding you of your word. That's how we have to live. And I know sometimes it's a bit challenging because it's like we get hit. And it's like, oh, Lord, I can't believe this again. This is happening. And I thought I got over this. And I'm getting hit again. And it gets frustrating if we're honest. And it gets challenging if we're honest. And sometimes we just want to give up. And I'm not telling you to give up. I'm telling you to press in, allow God, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of